is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. I don't have a long ways to go tonight. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock tonight. I do want to preach what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart today. I want to be very careful as I preach it tonight, the way that God has burdened me, talked to me. And I want us to be receptive and let us hear the voice of God today. I saw things today in His Word that I've never seen before. I'm not looking for a new revelation. I'm not the type of preacher that feels like he's got to have a new message for every service so that he can wow the people. I feel like that is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. The prophet said, seek for the old paths. Not new paths, the old paths. And that's not just an old message. That is simply the message. I don't have to look for a new message. I don't have to look for anything that wows anybody. Paul said that my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. And that's what I desire, not only for this night, but for this church. Amen. I want this church to be a spiritual church, because I feel that there are spiritual needs in the surrounding area, all the way into this city, that needs a spiritual body to be able to do spiritual things. They're bound by spirits, principalities, and powers. It's going to take a church that knows how to be spiritual in order for them to be set free. Praise God. And so we've got to hold fast to the things that have been given unto us. We've got to hold fast to those things. We're not looking for a new cart to carry an ark. So we're not looking for a new cart to carry the ark. We're not looking for a new form of worship. What has worked with our forefathers and up to this point will work for us now. And tonight, I just simply want to preach to you in His presence. In His presence. Heavenly Father, we love You today. I thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit today, for Your help. I sure need You tonight, God. I need the hand of the Holy Ghost. I need the ministering of the Spirit, the moving. Today, God, if You would lead us, if You would guide us, if You would help us, if You would talk to us, God of heaven, let there be no doubt when it was all said and done that we have been in Your presence today. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. I feel like we too often take for granted the presence of the Lord that we experience. And I will attempt to prove this here a little bit later, but at the onset, I just want to emphasize that I feel like we do take for granted the presence of God that we experience in our services. And God is not going to be content with that. God is not content with a church, with a people that just take for granted His presence. Amen. His presence is an amazing thing, and His presence demands respect. It demands respect. It calls to attention and demands an answer, demands a response. And no response to the presence of God is not a good thing. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself. I don't have many notes here tonight, just trying to depend upon the Lord today. But not responding to the presence of the Lord is not good for you. It's not good for me. When God moves, when God draws, when God speaks, it behooves us to listen. For example, when the presence of God was abiding over the tabernacle, there was a cloud that was over it by day, and there was a pillar of fire that was over it by night. And they reveled in that because they knew that as long as the presence of God was upon and over that place and His glory was indicative of being within that tabernacle, they knew that tomorrow there was going to be manna on the ground. And they knew that the Ark of the Covenant was still somewhere within inside of that tabernacle, and inside that Ark of the Covenant was law. There was not just law, but there was the rod that Aaron's rod that budded, and there was a pot of manna. And so it represented the miracles that God provided for His people, the provision that God provided for His people, and the authority that God had for His people, but also the law that kept His people. And when the presence of God would move, when that cloud by day would begin to move, or that pillar of fire by night would begin to move, there was a call that went forth. And the call called the Levites unto that tabernacle to begin to pack it up and begin to assemble and get prepared for a trip. And all of the 12 tribes of Israel would begin to pack their tents up and would begin to move to follow after that presence of God. Because they knew that if they were not where the presence of God was in the morning time, then they were going to be hungry for the day because there was going to be no manna left at this place. I think that that shadow, that type, that representation fails to bring understanding to us at times. And we understand that this is the place that God hath put His favor upon. This is the house that God has blessed, the church house, the physical house, but also the body. And I emphasize that this is the place. This is the place. You're not going to be blessed staying home. That's not a part of God's law. God's law teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know people that got extremely upset when churches shut down because of COVID. But now that churches are back open, they don't have a problem missing church. I call that hypocrisy. When they wanted to be adamant and defiant, bless God, we ought not to shut down the church. We ought to be at church. And then you can't be at church when there is no declaration to shut down church. That's hypocrisy. I want to be balanced in all things. But I understand that if I am going to hear from God, I've got to be in His presence. And I know that there are times that we can pray, and we can pray at work, we can pray on the road, we can pray at home, and God can speak to us. But understand this as well, that what God tells you at work, at home, is not going to contradict what comes forth over the pulpit. The Bible says that there are many voices in the world. and none without signification. Everyone has significance. And so if there is a voice that is stirring dissension, division, discontent, and the presence of God is here, then that voice has signification, has significance, and it's not good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so we need to be careful. And the voices that we hear that may sound like God, did not the enemy say, I will ascend up into the heavens? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He knows what he's doing. And he's not going to show up as some demonic looking phenom with some forked tail and a pitchfork and pointed ears and red horns, and red face and body. But Paul said it like this, an angel of light. An angel of light. That's what the word Lucifer means. Son of the morning. Son of the morning. The dawn. The light. And Paul said, if I or an angel, or we or an angel of light come teaching you or preaching unto you any other thing than that which we have already delivered unto you, let him be accursed. And he thought it so powerful that he said it again. He said, again, I say unto you, that if we are an angel of light, come preaching unto you any other thing. Why is there so many false doctrines in this world? One of them is because an angel called Moroni appeared unto someone and gave revelation that was totally contrary to the word of God. And so if I want to experience the blessings of God, then I need to be in his presence. If I want to experience the provisions of God, then I need to be in his presence. If I want to experience the miracles of God, then I need to be in his presence. And with that said, I can say that this is the place that God hath chosen to abide in, and that he has put his name upon this place. And that his presence fills this physical house. And we have dedicated this place unto him. And we call this the house of God. And we reverence it as the house of God. We treat it better than our own homes. We are more reverenced in this place than we are at our own homes. And that's the way that it ought to be. And we teach our kids to reverence the house of God. We teach our kids that we don't wear hats in the house and we don't wear hats in the house of God. Amen. I can remember my grandma. Amen. There was a lot of things that she didn't let in her house. And a lot of things that she didn't let go in her house. And we weren't allowed to wear hats in the house. And we weren't allowed to do several things in the house. And one of those things was we weren't allowed to whistle in the house. And Grandma would always tell us, put your whistle in your pocket. And then if we were still whistling or whatever, she'd just tell us, go outside. Granny, it's hot. She said, I don't care. Go outside. If you got a whistle, you go outside. I'll stop. No, you go outside for a while. And then I remember going outside and letting the screen door slam. And it wasn't because we slammed the door. It's just because the spring on it brought it back. And I'd hear Granny's voice from within side, hey! You come back and shut that door easily. And so you got to shut the door easily one time, but next time you were shutting the door easily 10 times. Amen. Because Granny wanted her house reverenced. It was her house. It was something that her husband had worked for and something that she had cleaned, and she esteemed that place. And she wanted us to be thankful and to be respected of that house. And I think that we need to take that same in the house of God. Amen. Praise God. I think we need to take that same mindset into the house of God, because this is where His presence abides. And I don't want to get to the place, you know, that we're... I understand that if they come in tomorrow and they tear this place completely down, that we are still the church. I understand that. But this is the place that we have dedicated, number one, to congregate to. And number two, to call the house of God. And so we want to be respectful of that. Amen. And His presence demands respect. At this rate, I'm going to keep you till 10 o'clock. Praise God. Help me to move Jesus. But His presence demanded response. Response. If His presence moved, then He demanded that you moved as well. With that understanding, let me bring revelation to somebody here tonight, because you're struggling and you've got a hard time. You're having a hard time with what's happening around here. All right? I'm telling you, I fought hell all day, so I'm going to deliver my whole heart today. You're having a hard time, amen, with what's going on around here and with the sincerity and with all of the, not the hype, but just the emotion. That's not really the word I'm looking for. The intenseness that we've got going. All right. God is calling us to a higher place. And I'm going to tell you why you are struggling. It's because the tabernacle is moving. And you're wanting to stay here. And the tabernacle is moving. And we're seeing miracles. And we're having wonderful things happen. And don't even go there. Don't even go there thinking that there's any slight towards Brother Worth's. I love that man dearly. That man took this church way further than a lot of men will ever take their church. But God's work never plateaus. So Brother Worth has taken from here to here. And God's work doesn't plateau. It's not up to me just to keep and just to be content and just to hold. That's not the will of God. That's not what Brother Worth would want. We need to be progressive. Even so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so as the church begins to progress, there's some that have decided to sit and hold, and you're having problems, you're struggling. And the reason that you're struggling is because there is a call to come higher. Amen. The provisions of God aren't down here any longer. That's why it is important that when we start having church, that you involve yourself. Because when everybody is up here and we're all worshiping God and you're sitting back there as an on-site looker, these are going higher. And you're getting left behind. And then you start struggling because there's no spiritual individual there to really help you and to pull you along. And I understand that we're all in this together and we're all going to help one another along and stuff. But the problem is you are carnal. And so everybody's over here with worship and with liberty, and they're praising and they're magnifying God. And people that are having a hard time and struggling, they come to the front and they're getting prayed for. And they're, amen, and people are reaching down and pulling them and lifting them up. And amen, and the church is continuing on and going and going. And God is saying, I've got a place that I want you to be. Amen. Tongues and interpretation came forth not too long ago, just a couple of Sundays ago. And the interpretation is, I have called you to a high and holy ground. A high and a holy ground. That's where God is. God is saying, this is where we're going to be. And I'm beckoning you to come on up to that high and to that holy ground. And that's exactly what the devil does not want you to participate in. He doesn't want you to go to that high and holy ground. He wants you to sit there. And I'm telling you, there is a problem. There is a spiritual problem when people can worship God and magnify God. Amen. And people are around the front and they're intense and they're involved in it. And then you turn around and you see people, amen, that are over there just sitting down and just watching. And it grieves me. And it grieves God. Because God's not willing that any should die lost. But you understand, the old war cliche is, united we stand and divided we fall. We've got to move with the presence of God. And if you don't want to move with the presence of God, there's not much. You are making yourself so susceptible to devils, to demonic activity. Because you're separated. You are by yourself. And when you are by yourself, you don't have the prayers and the strength of your brothers and your sisters to really help you. You have separated yourself. And so it is of importance that we respond to the presence of God. That is why it is important that unless you are sick, you need to be in the house of God. If you're not sick, you need to be here. Oh, my Lord Jesus. I feel so much of God here right now. You cannot afford to miss church. I'm telling you, we're living in the last days of time. And do you think that the devil doesn't know when to make you sick? He definitely knows when to make you sick because he don't play games. This is war. And there's nothing fair in war. And the devil knows that. Amen. And we need to get a revelation of that. And again, if you're sick, you got to make that decision on your own. If you're running fever, I really would rather that you stay home instead of getting everybody else sick. Amen. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you. And you call and we'll pray for you and God will heal you. Amen. It's like that old, I don't remember if it was a comedy or what it was, some comedian that was saying, I don't remember what it was, and said, you know, said, I'm sick tonight. You know, I don't feel like going. And Dad said, throw up and prove it. And so you threw up and you said, now, don't you feel better? Let's go to church. You said, Dad, I don't feel like going to church. I'm sick. All right, come here. Let me pray for you. All right, now you feel better. Let's go to church. I'm just going to say it as I feel it today, but we are living in a super phenomenally weak generation. And don't get mad at me. If the shoe fits, Cinderella, wear it. I'll say it again. We're living in a very weak generation. A generation where smart people are told to shut up so that stupid people aren't offended. In a weak generation where it doesn't take very much of anything because everybody thinks that I'm owed everything. And my feelings matter. Honey, you wouldn't have survived back in the 1960s and 50s and such like that. You wouldn't have survived. Hey, I'll just take you back to the 80s and I'll tell you that every time I even hiccuped wrong, my mom beat my rear end with a belt and I am today. You know what I am today? I'm a pretty good citizen. That's what I am today. And that's why you're a good citizen too. I'm just telling you right now, if you don't want to correct your kids according to the Bible way, I cannot help you. I can't help you. I'm not into timeout. That's not Bible. I'm not into, amen, all this. That's not Bible. If you don't want to correct your children the Bible way, I cannot help you. I am a preacher. I'm a preacher of the gospel. This gospel is the Bible. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not of that type. I cannot do that. I will not do that. Praise God. We've got to be in His presence. His presence demands response. It demands response. How is this? Amen. The Bible is replete over and over talking about, amen, all of this. 1 Chronicles 16 and 33. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Psalm 68 and 8. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Psalms 97 and 5. The hills melted like the wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Psalms 114 and 7. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the God of Jacob. Amen. I'm telling you that even God's creation knows that when the presence of God shows up, they began to sing the praises of God. Mount Sinai shook, amen, and smoked at the presence, amen, of God. And we can sit in some awfully powerful services and just sit there under the presence of God. But I want you to know that God's creation, even the mountains, amen, said, what a powerful essence, what a powerful experience. We owe it to God when we feel His presence. Stand in reverence and in awe at His presence. I come against that spirit of hell that wants to demise the presence of God. I come against that spirit of hell that wants to belittle the presence of God. Hey friend, I'm in the presence of the King of Kings, the Almighty, one that's greater than the President of the United States will ever be, one that's greater than any ruler ever was. I'm in the presence of God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. Moses had to cover his face when he came out from the presence of God, because when he came out, he was blinding everybody. Amen. His face shone due to the presence of God. And somebody approached him and said, Moses, there is an effect that is upon your life. There is an effect, amen, that is upon you. Amen. And we know that you must have had an experience with God. I wonder how many people are affected by who we are after we leave a Sunday night service. I wonder how many people are affected by who we are when we leave a Wednesday night service. Amen. I'm telling you, there ought to be a difference. Somebody says, oh, no, I don't believe that. Amen. You can believe what you want to believe, and you've got the, amen, right to be wrong. But when Moses was in the presence of God, amen, and he came out of that place, there was a difference that was about him. There was an attitude that he did not have. There was emotions that he did not have. There were excuses that he did not have. There was no justification that he possessed. He had been in the presence of God. There's something wrong with your church. There's something wrong with your Holy Ghost. If you can come in on a Sunday night and then go give the waiter a piece of your mind right after church, there's something wrong with the glory of God that's in your life. If you can come to church on a Wednesday night and then go home and cuss somebody out, amen, on Wednesday night or Thursday morning, that's not the presence of God. God's presence will change you. God's presence will change your entire life. God will wipe away all the excuses, the laziness, the justification. He'll wipe all of that away. Praise God. I'm just going to skip a lot of this. I'm just going to preach as I feel, as I'm about where I want to go. Amen. But how many times have we seen people that come to church and they sit there unmoved by the presence of God, but they get and they have some excuse. I just had a rough day today. And it's just been tough. It's just been hard. But as soon as we get out of church, hey, how are you doing, brother? Oh, it's so good to see you. How was your day today? You hypocrite. Hey, I'm trying to awaken us and cause us to see where we really are. We're not as righteous as we think that we are. We're self-righteous. We're self-righteous, but we're not as righteous as we think that we are. Don't go around telling everybody how they ought to worship. Amen, when you won't lead the pack. Don't go home and say, well, I wish those young people would run the aisles. You get out and run the aisles and show them how it's done. Hallelujah. Yeah, I told you I felt it tonight. Amen. I hope nobody's feeling bad about this. If it feels bad, just turn around. Amen. And it'll feel a whole lot better. Yeah, I said, if this is rubbing you the wrong way, turn around. It'll feel a whole lot better. Hallelujah. I'm after a devil. I'm after a devil tonight. And if you're feeling the wrath of the pastor, you're probably too close to the devil. Get away from that devil. Don't feel content sitting close to him. There's a place that God wants to go. There's a place that God wants to bring us to. There's some miracles that God wants to show us. There's some people that God wants to fill with the Holy Ghost. But he's got to do it over there in that high and holy ground. Praise God. Amen. I've dealt with people. Amen, that they'll sit there the entire service, they'll sit there and then they want counseling after church. And the first thing that they want to say is, I'm struggling. No joke. Well, of course you're struggling. Of course you're struggling. Because you're not responding. God is sitting there reaching. Go ahead, sit down, brother. You're always my example. I love you. Now you just refuse. God is sitting here reaching. And you're just sitting there. And the power of God is moving throughout the service. Amen. And God moves upon somebody else. And they kind of start shouting and worshiping and praising God. And God comes back over here. And you still want to sit there. You know what the problem is? You like your pity party. You like your pity party. Because I've never known anybody that was unhappy that stayed. If you're unhappy with your job, what do? You go looking for another job. That boss, I'm telling you what, I can't stand him. I'm going to find another job. He don't appreciate me. He don't appreciate the hard work that I do. Doesn't even notice me. I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with it. I've given him enough time and all this. I've got to find somebody else to work for. And you do. And what I'm saying is, if you're not happy where you are, then you're going to do something about it. But too often, we just like complaining and belly aching and whining and crying about everything. And you know what happened to the whiners and the criers? God waved goodbye to them. See ya. But we're going over Jordan. I want to respond to the presence of God. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I got somewhere I need to get to quickly. And so this is what came to me today that caused me great consternation, pause, self-evaluation. I had to sit there, ponder, spend time. The Bible teaches us some different things. We know that 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we know that God Himself came and tabernacled among people. And His presence was everywhere He was. And everywhere He was, people were around Him, and therefore they were in the presence of God. And the people that were closest to Him, we would have to say, were the disciples. Everywhere He was, they were there. When He was on the mountaintop, they were there. And when He pulled away to a quiet place, they sat around Him and He explained the parables to them. He looked at Peter and He said unto all the disciples, whom do man say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, oh, some say that thou art Isaiah, some say Jeremiah, maybe some Elijah, or one of the other prophets. And Jesus looked at those that was closest to Him and always in His presence. And He asked them, but whom do you say that I am? Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, you know how you got that revelation? You've been in My presence. Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He told him, he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth. That was those that was in His presence. Everybody else that was in, who were some others that was in His presence? Mary, mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, all these. Mary and Martha, Lazarus. They were called the friends of God. They were always in His presence. They knew Him. They knew intricate details about Him, things that others may not have known about Him. They knew about Him. And so one day a storm is taken, the disciples in the boat, and they're being tossed to and fro, and they're working, and they're in a struggle. They're in the storm of life, and they're struggling. And in the process of struggling, they look up, and they are afraid because they see an image going out, and they didn't. Not, the Bible said, they did not recognize that it was Jesus. And they saw Him and they got scared and they thought it's a ghost. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's just Me. And so they weren't afraid anymore. We're sitting in Peter's house and all the disciples are there. And Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, is sitting right in the middle of them. And everybody is just talking and going about their ways and their day. But here comes Mary Magdalene, and she falls at Jesus' feet, and she breaks an alabaster box. And all of these are just talking. And Mary's sitting there weeping and crying and washing Jesus' feet and wiping it with her hair. And everybody's just sitting and talking right in the presence of God. Disciples, the ones that He chose, come follow after Me. And they're sitting there and they're talking. And all they're doing is critiquing and judging what is going on. There's a problem when we get in the presence of God and all you want to do is just critique and judge everything that's going on. You just want to critique everything that's being said. You want to judge everything that's being said. You want to judge everything that's happening. There is a problem. Because I continue my story.
And that's what these disciples were doing. They were critiquing and judging and talking among themselves. Yeah, it should have been sold and given unto the poor and blah, 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 blah. And here sat Jesus, getting his feet washed. Mary's crying. Tears are being poured out on his feet. And Jesus sitting there, and all the disciples are just critiquing and judging and stuff. And finally Jesus says, "Hey, Simon.
Oh,
yes, Lord. I have somewhat to say to you." "Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Well, what is it?" "You see this woman?" And he talks about being forgiven of something small and something great and who would be most thankful. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You see this woman here?"
Yeah. Yeah, I have."
"Hey, Simon."
"Yes."
"You know, this is your house."
"Uh-huh."
"And when I came to your house, you didn't get no water for my feet. You haven't washed my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't bring an oil in to anoint. And here's this sinner woman that doesn't even know me. She just has some type of knowledge. And she hasn't ceased to wash my feet. And she's crying tears for the water. And she's drying my feet with her hair. And you haven't done any of that. And I'm in your house." Familiarity. Contentness. All the disciples said, "Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But they had come familiar with it. "Nah, just Jesus. Nah, it's just church. I mean, what do you expect? It was Sunday night. Come on." "Yeah, it's really no big deal." And then here comes a sinner. And they're up weeping and crying. "Oh, God, I told God I'd say whatever he put on my heart. I'm not in my notes. I left my notes a long time ago." And here we got a sinner up here praying and crying. "Hey, brother, how are you doing? How's your day going? Your week going?" "Yeah, I know it. I'm getting ready to get home. I got to get up early in the morning." "Yeah, yeah. Bless you, brother." The Spirit of God speaks, says, "Hey, church." "Oh, yes, Lord. You know, here's somebody that's only heard of me. And they're up here weeping and crying and praying. And here I am at your house. I haven't seen you shed any tears. I haven't seen you show any emotion. I failed to see where you greeted me with an embrace. Maybe I missed that communication and that oil exchange. Huh? What about the two that were on the road to Emmaus? And all of a sudden, Jesus pops in. But they're so discouraged, they're so disappointed, they're so downtrodden, so disheartened that they don't even recognize him as Jesus. But they know all about him. Jesus shows up and he says, "Hey, What you so sad for?
Well, I mean, haven't you even heard about Jesus? And I mean, he was so wonderful and so powerful, and he's not here anymore. And I mean, he did lots of miracles and everything, but he's not here anymore. And
Jesus, like, oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. And he starts expounding scripture to him and starts talking about Moses and the prophets and everything. And they're just like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I just wish Jesus was here.
And Jesus said, hey.
Yeah?
So who am I? Oh. But as soon as they recognized him, poof, he was gone. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart today? That caused me pause. That caused me stop. That caused me self-evaluation. That caused me to seek after him. He pointed it out and he told me, he said, it's those that know me the best that recognize me the least. It's those that know me the most that fail to realize when I show up. Peter?
Yeah.
Hey, what? I'm in your house. Yeah. But you're just Jesus. Oh, really? What about Mary? And here she is at the sepulcher. And she's crying and she's distraught. And Jesus shows up and says, Mary? You think Mary would know him? No. The Bible said, supposing him to be the gardener, she looked at him and she said, sir, if you'll just tell me where you've taken his body, I'll go get it and I'll do away with it and it won't be any problem for you any longer. And Jesus said, Mary. And she stopped. And soon it was over. And too oftentimes the church becomes so familiar with the presence of God that it just becomes the norm. And we become content. But I encourage you to look at your Bible from Genesis through Revelations, and you are going to find that God has a long history of leaving the content. A long history of leaving the satisfied and the content. I'm looking for worshipers. And if you're just going to sit there, I'll go look somewhere else. I read a statement not too long ago that was brought back to my remembrance, and I went and I found where I had written it down. And some many, 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 many years ago, a man by the name of A.W. Tozer wrote a book. The only thing I don't remember which book he wrote it in. But I do know that A.W. Tozer died in 1963. So I can promise you he wrote it before 1963. But I'm going to read to you what he wrote. Sometime before 1963, he wrote this. If God withdrew from today's church, 95% of our work would continue without us even knowing the difference. What does that mean? That means that we are so wrapped up in ourselves. We are so wrapped up in our imagination of what worship truly is. And I'm afraid that a lot of things that is being called worship, amen, is so simple the worship of flesh, because it's not the worship of God. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm going to tell you something. It is going to bother me. It is going to grind me. It is going to cause me great indignation, great wrath. Amen. We ever come to the place that as soon as the music stops, everybody just... Oh, that's going to aggravate me so bad. Because that's just production. That's production. And what did God say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1? He said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Say, oh, what is God going to do? Is he going to kill him? No. He's just going to leave. He's just going to leave. If you want this to be about flesh, if you want this to be about talent, if you want this to be about, amen, demonstration of a body and physical activity, you can have at it. I'll go find some other place that'll worship me rather than worship self. So I want to be very careful. And I'm grieved. And say, well, why are you grieved? It's just simply because I realize the danger. I realize the catastrophic danger that is involved in this. And too often we are treading on the precipice. And we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. Here's the 12 disciples. Here's Mary. Here's the two at Emmaus. The ones that are supposedly the closest to God. And they don't even recognize him. They don't even recognize him. But here's a Mary Magdalene that doesn't know much but what she's heard. And she wasn't invited. But she came in and began to worship God manifest in the flesh. I want to be very, very careful and very reverent concerning the presence of God. I don't want to be like Ezekiel that stands and can't do a thing about the presence of God vacating the place. I don't want to be like Ezekiel that can only write about it and wish and hope. Sam, it's going away. It's going away. It's leaving us. And he writes of how that the glory went out and it set over the threshold. And then it went out and it set up on the distant hill. I don't want that. I want to entertain his presence. And I want to be very, very careful and very, very reverent of it. And so Jesus said, go and invite all of these to the marriage supper. And so the servants went out to everybody that was supposed to be there. I can't come. I married a wife. I can't come. I bought some oxen and I've got to go try them out. I can't come. I bought a house. I bought land. I did this. I did this. I can't come. And they come. Why? We're reverencing the presence of the king. And when they came back to the king, he said, where's everybody at? He said, Well, they all they have is excuses and stuff. So I guess we're not. No! You go out into the highways and to the byways and you compel them to come in that my house will be full. If they don't want to come and be in my presence, then fine, they can go. I'll find somebody else to stand and to set in their place. This is my honor. This is my responsibility. This is my delight to come into his presence as we stand here tonight. And David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. He talked about getting into his presence. He said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Nobody getting my place. Nobody taking my place. Nobody's taking my seat. Amen. I'm staying in the church. I'm going to keep my place solidified. This is my place. It's my honor. I'm going to be in the house of God. David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. David had a revelation. You ain't getting my place at the house. You ain't getting my place at the table. That's my place that I come for strength, for renewal. Amen. For help, for enlightenment, for joy. Amen. That's my place. And nobody's coming. Oh, yeah. Somebody may come and they may sit in your seat. Amen. We don't have assigned seats. It's not necessarily seat. Amen. This room is full of seats. It's full of seats. It's full of seats. Amen. That's a place for everybody. But you know what? I know people that when somebody comes in, somebody sits in their seat, they get all offended and get mad. At my seat, bless God. Why can't you just be thankful that somebody's at the house of God and you're at the house of God? You're still in church. That's what matters, doesn't it? That's what matters. Come on, folks. I know we haven't experienced this, but amen, if this be the case, we need to grow up. Such trivial things can get us to... And what does the God of glory do? And he looks down and sees that. Come on. I want to take advantage of his presence. And when his presence lures me into a deep place, I want to be quick to follow. When his presence lures me into a high place of worship, I want to be quick to follow. Because you never know what can happen. Brother Micah was talking the other Sunday night, last Sunday night, and he got talking about his knee with his meniscus. And I actually was with the pastor when his meniscus was torn. And he's had two different tore. He had a tore meniscus. He had a tore ACL. I was with him when he tore his ACL. And but I was also with him when God healed him. And we was in such a powerful service. I mean, it was extremely powerful. And I mean, there was miracles happening. Everything was going on. And this pastor, he came to me and he said, Brother Cowan, I was preaching revival. He came to me and he said, Brother Cowan, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I believe God will touch my knee right now. And I believe that God will heal me. And so he was very, very, you know, very, it was very, very tender. And he was still at church. And so I just put my hands on his shoulders. And I began to pray for him, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of us. And I mean, it was like somebody stuck an electric current to us. And there we were, and we were praying. And all of a sudden, he just started doing like this. God healed him. God healed him. Just like that. And that knee was perfectly fine. But you know what? There was a man that was sitting on the back row that had the same problem, a tore ACL. And you know what he did? Nothing. He sat there, just judging, critiquing everything. And the pastor walked out. And this man walked out. In the same service. It's how we respond to God that dictates. And so Sister Stacy can come up and get prayed for and receive a blessing and receive a touch. And somebody else can sit back there and say, well, I didn't get anything. It's all in how we respond to His presence. God said the trees respond. The mountains respond. Everything responds. Why can't we respond? I'm ready. I'm ready to respond. I'm ready to respond. And so I know it's a little bit late, but we stay late talking and stuff. But I wonder if we could just talk to God for just a little bit. And let's just self-evaluate. And let's just say, God, I'm going to respond to Your presence every time. Hey, I had to do that today. Because there have been times that God's been knocking at my door saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And I'm saying, God, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. See you at 6. And at 6, I get up and nobody's at the door. I want to be sensitive to His Spirit. Because when I'm sensitive to His Spirit, things are going to happen. Amen. Let's pray. You can find yourself a place to pray.